This is a key report. I'll come back live with all.
Last weekend, there was a major rocket attack on the Golan Heights, and Israel retaliated by blowing up the political leader of Hamas. Iran killed the commander of Hezbollah in Beirut. And so now everybody, all eyes are on what this retaliation will look like. The United States will have two aircraft carriers in the Strait of Hormuz, just off the coast of Iran, during or shortly after the strikes. The function of whether this conflict goes on longer and whether it goes wider is the commitment and involvement of the United States. The Biden administration has been very reluctant to get involved, and they, along with other liberal governments, it's just true, they have been trying to restrain Israel. And so I think that this is the go for broke. This is the once and for all war. This is how Israel sees it, where they're going to strike at the heart, which is Iran, and dismantle all of the proxies systematically. In order to do that, they need a total and unconditional and sustained commitment from the United States. And I think whenever that's required, it always involves false flags. I don't think I'm the only one with the idea in my head that something's going to blow up. There's going to be some kind of mass casualty incident. And in 24 hours, there'll be a media blitz. They'll know it's Hamas, it's Hezbollah, it's Iran. And that's going to be their pretext to get the United States involved. If the United States engages Iran, we have to recognize we'll be engaging Iran on many, many fronts. It's going to be a full-on regional conflict. I don't think people realize the scope of all of this, and especially the effect it'll have on the economy. What happens when all of the world's major oil producers are engaged in an all-out regional conflict? What happens when there's no trade going through the Strait of Hormuz or through the Red Sea? It would be a total economic meltdown. But the United States just needs to say no. Trump put out a message on True Social a week ago, and he said, well, if the reports are true and Iran tries to kill me, they should wipe Iran off the map. And that's like an invitation for John F. Kennedy. That's like an invitation for RFK, saying, hey, if I die, then Israel gets everything it always wanted. Okay, well, guess what's going to happen next? I think he needs to commit to not going to war in Iran. And I said it at Turning Point a few months ago. I've been saying it from the beginning. I'm uncommitted right now. But the thing that's going to get me to vote for Trump and turn out, I think it's true of a lot of people, and even a lot of people in Michigan who are unlikely Trump voters, we need to be confident that there will be no war in Iran. So he said in his first term, I started no new wars. I'd like to hear a strong commitment, no new wars in the second term. And I know, you know, for some reasons, it's not a good idea because you need to have some flexibility conducting a foreign policy. You need to, you know, people need to think you might be able to, but it's too hot right now. The American people need to know that we're not going to war in Iran, no matter what the false flag, no matter what happens in the ensuing days. We need to know this is going to be a president that's America first and keeps the troops out of the Middle East. I think that wins the election. Because in a lot of ways, the Trump rhetoric is getting further and further away from the America First message of 2016. I like to say in 2016, he ran as an independent. Now he's running as a Republican. And it went from trade, anti-war, and anti-immigration. Now it's something like cutting taxes, more war, and energy. Trump is still our last best chance, but it's really now, just like it was in 2017, a battle for the Trump administration. And I hate that it's this way. It shouldn't be this way. But once again, it's going to be the real Trump loyalists and the real America firsters that are going to have to fight inside the Trump administration and wrest control back from the neocons. And so I think that the path to global peace, it's a policy of American restraint. I think the only one that can even do it is Trump. But the only way to get Trump to do it is to fight a battle within his team and within his future administration. Because what was interesting is when Trump came to power, the world leaders actually kind of liked him. Like Kim Jong-un, who has every reason to be suspicious of and hate the United States, he actually thought Trump was kind of cool. And they were like hanging out. And I know people are skeptical of that, but it spoke to something. Trump represented to the world a breakthrough where now that you're getting the American people instead of this blob, instead of this foreign policy, ultra rich blob. Putin talked about that. Kim Jong-un recognized that. I think a lot of people recognize that. And now we've just been submerged back under the blob. So that's really the tension in the United States, because I think everybody recognizes the people are good, but it is these global elites who are more powerful than ever in tech, in finance, and so on. And I think they're bringing the world to a very sad, impoverished.
Nitric Boost, Turmeric 95, quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultimate Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Bodies, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWarsMD at InfoWarsStore.com.
Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic. It's Alex Jones.
All right, Roger Stone called it more than 2 weeks ago here on the broadcast. He joins us at 2 p.m. today and 2 hours and 6 minutes from now, or roughly exactly 2 hours, we'll be coming to the segment. So exactly 2 hours from now, Roger Stone called it again when nobody was saying it was going to be this particular individual, Walls, but they have picked Tim Walls, who is particularly horrible out of a horrible field of people. The dual citizenship of Shapiro did not work well with her pro-Palestine, anti-Israel club. And so now she's chosen this guy, who's a pro-Islamic invasion individual. And then he also is for open borders. He is for chopping the penises of six-year-old boys off. I mean, he's for rioting and burning down buildings if you're a leftist. He's for defunding the police. He is bad news. Super bad. And that's what you would expect from these people. And that means they would probably try to remove Kamala very quickly and put him in as the president. Extremely creepy at every level. Meanwhile, voters believe in major polls Harris will be the same or worse than Biden for the economy. Yeah, no kidding. We have that clip of Biden just last week saying, I fix the economy. What was the exact statement? I fix the economy. I save the economy. He cured the economy. Let's get that clip ready again in a minute. Maybe roll it three times back to back because it's so amazing. We all know the real economy is in shambles. But Trump has come out and pointed out that Kamala crash is going to be very, very serious. Stock market's crashing. I told you so. Kamala doesn't have a clue. Biden is sound asleep, all caused by inept U.S. leadership, which the globalists want because they're robbing the country blind. Another Truth Social post. Stock markets are crashing. Jobs numbers are terrible. We are heading to World War III. We have two of the most incompetent leaders in history. This is not good. Trump warned in a series of critical Truth Social media posts. Stock markets are crashing. Job numbers are terrible. We are heading towards World War III. And he just continues on. Of course, there's a massive market downturn. Kamala is even worse than Crooked Joe. Markets will never accept the radical left lunatic. Destroyed San Francisco and California as a whole. Next move, the Great Depression 2024. You can't play games with markets. Kamala crash. Here's another one. Voters have a choice. Trump prosperity or Kamala crash and Great Depression of 2024. Not to mention the probability of World War III if these very stupid people remain in office. Remember, Trump was right about everything. And even Jim Cramer came out and said, if you want a good economy, vote Trump. So even idiot leftists have some type of survival instinct. Voters have a choice, Trump prosperity or the Kamala crash and Great Depression. Not to mention probability of World War III. All right, so The markets are continuing to be down. They're trying to basically prop them up. But we knew when Warren Buffett called the top last Friday, dumping 55% of his Apple stock, he's in $277 billion in cash to buy everything up in the collapse. They may prop it up a few months, but they're going to ride it up and down for a while. But I believe we've hit the top of the stock market for a very long time to come. It's been massively high because of inflation. That's been a place they've been hiding the inflation, but that's not going to work anymore. Yeah, let's go ahead and play clip 13 and 18 just to remind you how idiotic Kamala is. And then right after that, go ahead and play the Biden clip about how he cured the economy.
And as a woman, there's a balance to be struck between being tough and being a bitch.
You know, we have to stay woke. Like, everybody needs to be woke. and you can talk about if you're the wokest or woker, but just stay more woke than less woke.
Yeah. You know what woke means? It means you're a loser. Everything woke. It's true.
So late. Another pedophile lunatic.
Yeah, sure, the economy.
What are you going to
do? And the environment. And a few other small things.
What are you going to do?
All
right, that's enough. Just wanted you to be sure you could hear that and see that as we played it a few times. All right, Jackson Hinkle is a very informative and smart journalist. I agree with him on about 80% what he has to say. I'm not a big fan of Maduro or communism, but I'm also not a fan of globalism. It's kind of like I don't like arsenic or cyanide. But he has a lot of bravery to go down there in the middle of that war zone. During the election, he just got back after weeks down there in Venezuela. He's an American conservative and Marxist-Leninist political commentator and social media influencer who hosts political show The Dive with Jackson Hinkle. He reaches millions a day. Hinkle is known for his advocacy of MAGA communism, a call for MAGA supporters to adopt Marxist-Leninist adaption in American conservatism. As of November 2023, he is one of the most viral users on social media, even more so today. And he's on X at Jackson Hinkle. And again, Mr. Hinkle, as you know, I'm not a Marxist. I disagree with that vehemently. But at least you're being honest about your political aims. The globalists have a fascist system that masquerades as communism. And if it could possibly be worse, it is in my view. But we can disagree on that. You've got a lot of amazing reports you filed in Venezuela. So I thought we would give a perspective from somebody that's pro-Maduro of what happened. I saw he came out and called Elon Musk and everybody part of a devil cult. And when I said that was bull, well, I've studied who's in devil cults. And I know who the globalists are and who's in Skull and Bones. It's not Elon Musk. But, you know, regardless, you were down there. You had a lot of access. So thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. And we always have the common enemy of Trotsky and Klaus Schwab and the globalists. As a Stalinist, we can, you know, I can align with you on those points. And what I saw in Venezuela is that the globalists are coming after President Maduro like never before. Venezuela has the most oil on the face of the earth out of any country. On the continent, they have the most gas, they have the most gold. And the Rockefellers, the IMF, the World Bank, the Bank of England, the Bush family, Obamas are all coming after President Maduro and have done so for quite some time. The people within the Trump administration tried to topple President Maduro. And Trump, I don't think he really cares, but it was John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, and Elliot Abrams, who were pushing for the ouster of President Maduro, they wanted to put this Maria Corina Machado, who's the opposition leader, in power. She's a good friend of Benjamin Netanyahu. She's a very good friend of the Bush family and of George Bush. So what I see in Venezuela is a man who's fighting for his country's sovereignty, fighting to regain their independence. And actually, Venezuela is now the fastest growing economy in all of South America. They've brought inflation from 36,000% down to about 2.5% per month. And the elections were lied about day in and day out by people like Elon Musk, who have huge deals with the Pentagon and would love to get their hands on the resources in this country.
There's no doubt that if I don't like communism and Maduro, that certainly the globalists want to go in there and exploit Venezuela. I think that's a true statement. But so my conservative audience, who's very informed, we have a lot of other people that aren't historically informed, who don't know, there is a big distinction between being a Stalinist and a Trotskyite. And people that don't know, you might want to explain to them, Trotsky got kicked out by Stalin, and because of the purges and things he was running against Christians and other people, he then runs to Mexico. He gets killed by a Stalin assassin with an ice axe. The axes they used to cut up big blocks of ice before they had ice makers. And then all that funding, though, that he ran away with, the equivalent of hundreds of billions today, gets put into the neocons and to take over the Republican Party. And so they get full control by the 1988 with Herbert Walker Bush getting in. And so really that is a serious block of the neocons, and the policies you see today running a lot of the left is a Trotskyite permutation. The Trotskyites are the ones running the war against Russia and Ukraine. So they're really powerful. People don't know that. And Putin talks about the Trotskyite arm over here. So it's important to understand who the players are. Why don't you explain a Stalinist versus a Trotskyite?
Well, Trotsky abandoned Stalin and, yes, was responsible for a lot of those, genocidal policies that he tried to implement and against Christians in Russia and, sending them to all across the furthest regions of Russia. That was Trotsky. And Trotsky was aligned with the British and American financial interests that propped up the Nazis and propped up Hitler. And now we're today seeing that this Trotskyite faction of neocons is the same group of people that is pushing their anti-human, pro-financialist agenda in the United States and Europe, and also trying to bring countries like Venezuela and Syria and Iran and Russia under their grips. And again, really, the idea of Maduro being a socialist has nothing to do with why he's being targeted. You can agree with him. You can disagree with him. Personally, I've seen his country have great success prior to the sanctions that people like John Bolton advocated for. And after the sanctions were implemented, several years after, their economy is rising once again. But put that aside for a second. Venezuela is a country that's fighting for its sovereignty from the dollar, fighting for its sovereignty from the IMF. And this is what countries all across the world are doing now, joining BRICS. President Putin just invited President Maduro to the BRICS summit in Kazan, Russia in October. Venezuela will be the next country that joins BRICS if our predictions are all correct, if what Putin is saying is correct, if nothing changes. The CIA is funding Colombian terror cells in Venezuela, and they pay them to put bombs in hotels. They pay them to launch drone attacks on the president of Venezuela. And in fact, when I was there, our posts about Venezuela reached over 200 million individuals. And our account was the number one account pushing the truth about the elections. And because of that, the U.S. State Department and the CIA in Bogota, Colombia, funded a group of Colombian terrorists to try and kidnap me in my hotel. They found my location. They doxed me. It was all across Telegram. U.S.-funded propaganda journalists in Latin America were sharing it to their hundreds of thousands of followers. They showed up to my hotel, but thank God the Venezuelan authorities were able to get me out the back door quick enough and provide me with security. But this is what happens. You know, it's like You have foreign governments that are adversarial to the United States that are doing more to protect U.S. citizens than the U.S. government is. And same thing in Ukraine. You have all these people like Tucker Carlson. I think Elon Musk even now is on the Ukraine government kill list, as am I. And what does the U.S. government do in response? They send Ukraine another $100 billion. It's absolutely insane.
Well, for those that don't know, they admit that Victoria Nuland and just all of them are literally Trotskyites. And that's why they have this beef with Russia. And why they started the war with Soros 11 years ago. And now that Russia's decisively won and doesn't want more of the territory, the West doesn't know what to do. The globals don't know what to do. That's my big concern with Iran, because Russia has a mutual defense pact with Iran. So there's a full Western assault on Iran. Russia has said they will come in. Well, what's your research on that?
Well, Russia's providing a lot of missile systems, long-range missile systems, Iskanders to Iran, as you know. They're providing the most high-tech missile jamming systems that they have in their arsenal to Iran. And Iran is sending some of their lower-grade, older systems to Hezbollah and to Yemen as well. Personally, I don't think what Iran is going to do in this retaliatory response to Israel is going to be the start of the whole regional war. I think maybe Israel will decide to start a regional war after this response is taken up from Iran. But I don't think it's really in the best interest of anyone in this new multipolar world to try and actually target or start a war with Israel. What people like President Putin and the Ayatollah understand is that each and every day the West is getting weaker, the dollar is getting weaker, the West is plunging into more and more cultural decay. So why would you attack them today when you could attack them tomorrow, or say in 5 years or 10 years? Right now, there is no, I guess, strategic reason for them to carry out a war on Israel or a full war on Ukraine, because what Russia is doing is just a special military operation, not a full mobilization. They would be much better positioned if they waited several years. But we'll have to wait and see how Israel responds to this attack from Iran.
Wouldn't it just be better if we took the country back and stopped all these foreign entanglements and stopped meddling in these countries?
I 100% think that's what we need to do. And that's why we recently launched the American Communist Party in the United States. We're a non-woke, traditionalist party that's focused on actually unleashing the forces of production in this country, showing Americans what communism is all about, and freeing our country from the control of these corrupt groups like the Rockefellers, the Council on Foreign Relations, the CIA, the State Department, all the big banks, the IMF, the World Bank. We want to take our country back, bring back jobs. China is outpacing us by a factor of 2 times now in manufacturing. The U.S. is falling behind. We're losing to China in terms of annual GDP purchasing power parity by $5 trillion. There's no reason for the U.S. to be pushing these anti-human degrowth policies, but it's because of the Trotskyites that they are.
You know, I looked into you. You know, you're a young guy still, but you were an environmentalist. I'm going from memory, like a surfer, all this stuff. What got you into communism? Because you look around the world, you can say communism succeeds. China hasn't had communism. It's had a weird state-run monopoly capitalist system that had to deal with the globalists to build them up. I mean, I just don't even see that. And then Russia is its own thing. I wouldn't call it communist today. You know, more of a production economy, more nationalistic, more really of a free market system. I mean, what made you believe communism is the way?
Seeing how imperialism works firsthand. I mean, the thing that really shook me the hardest was watching what we did to Syria and what we did to President Bashar al-Assad. You know, you had the Obama administration that was fomenting all of these false flag chemical gas attacks, and they were saying they're going to go start the war. Then they did. They backed ISIS, Al-Qaeda, Jaish al-Islam, Hayat Tahrir al-Sham, all these groups to try and steal Syria's oil, steal Syria's wheat, and prevent them from industrializing into a superpower in the region. When I saw that, I began to investigate, learn more. I started my YouTube show, and I started to read what Lenin actually wrote about imperialism, how it operates. And I was never you know, all that enticed with the idea of this, what the Trotskyites are pushing, trying to target kids with transgenderism.
Well, I mean, I'll agree with you this. The only thing, I can say communism is really bad, but the satanic Hollywood pedophilia, would you say that's Trotskyism, or what would you call Satanism? What would you call that?
It's all one and the same to me. It's Malthusian ideology. It's Trotskyite ideology. It's really horrific what they're doing. And that's why we have to stick together and fight against it. Even though we have different visions for the future, we can both say we reject what they're trying to push on the masses right now.
Well, let me say this, and I followed your channel and I forgot this other. You had an 18-minute conversation with Maduro a few days ago. We'll roll some B-roll of that, but tell us about that.
Yeah, it was an honor to be able to talk with President Maduro. And, you know, they're in the middle of an all-out war to defend their country in the face of this U.S. effort to depose the democratically elected government. I specifically asked him about his thoughts on what Elon Musk is saying. You know, I appreciate what Elon Musk has done on Twitter. I don't know if I like his idea of removing likes and likes on comments that he announced this week, but I appreciate the free speech. But he talked a lot about the lies that Elon Musk is pushing about Venezuela, how he's propping up Zionists in Venezuela. And I also asked him about President Trump, because President Maduro recently said that had him and President Trump been able to meet in 2019, they would have been friends and it would have changed world history. And he reiterated that story and actually expanded upon it when I was talking to him in that clip. He said that President Trump called him at the Miraflores Palace right before he headed over to New York City and said that he wanted to meet. They called him three times and said, yes, let's meet, let's meet, let's meet. When President Maduro got to New York City, nothing happened. And he wondered what happened. Turns out later, John Bolton, Esper, and Abrams, all in their memoirs working in the Trump administration, they boasted and bragged about the fact that they in the deep state prevented this meeting from happening with Donald Trump and President Maduro. Maduro, however, did say also in this interview that in the future, if President Trump is reelected, he hopes that they can meet and be friends in the future.
And he did say he's glad Trump wasn't killed.
Yes. Yes. Fair. I mean, the same people trying to kill Trump are the same people trying to kill him.
We've got to go to break here in a minute or so, but start giving your view. What would have happened if Trump would have been killed on July 13th?
Civil war, 100% civil war. It would have been anarchy in the streets. And that's exactly what they want to have happen. I mean, they don't want a guy who's going to stop the war in Ukraine. And I think it's very possible that Trump will do that. He doesn't like war. You know, I've talked with Colonel Douglas McGregor, former Trump Pentagon senior advisor. He said Trump does not like war. Of course, he has his own opinions and ideology and thoughts about world leaders. But at his core, he doesn't like war, and the globalists do. And that's why they tried to kill him.
Yeah, Trump does not like to destroy things. He likes to build things.
Yes, yes.
What do you think the chances are they're going to kill Trump? They're definitely going to try again.
Of course, of course. This is not the end. And if anyone thinks that, you know, he's safe once he gets into the White House, or he's safe at any of these election stops that they're planning, I got a bridge to sell you, because they're not going to stop. And I think you made a very, solid point when you said next time it might not be such a brazen attack on his life. They might try to poison his food. They might try to do some suspect technology that we don't even know about to give him a heart attack or cancer or something. We'll have to wait and see. But listen, Trump needs to keep a very, very, very tight knit around him and be careful about who he associates with, where he goes. They need to make sure that everything is planned to the T. And
I agree. Jackson Hinkle, stay there. I want to come back and talk big picture with you. Stay with us. A limited edition, exclusive InfoWars proprietary 24-carat .999 pure gold collectible is now available in this credit card size package, laminated with original InfoWars art. This is a memento to remind you of the fact that you kept InfoWars on the air at a critical time. We could do a straight up donation drive, but we may have to do one. But this is basically the same thing as donating. You just get this collectible as a thank you from us for what you're doing. So please take action. Get yours right now at InfoWarsStore.com or by calling toll-free 888-253-3139. We cannot stay on the air without your support. This is a collectible, and it is a beautiful piece of gold, a little bar that symbolizes your support of the InfoWar. I humbly ask you to take action and make the decision to keep us on air, because this is your chance to keep InfoWars on the air at a critical juncture in the fight for our republic.
Everybody buys the Life Select storable food, which has a 25-year shelf life, just in case of an emergency. Frankly, it's cheaper to eat the Life Select storable food than it is to get groceries in Biden's economy. Then they don't buy the Alexa Pure water filter in conjunction with the storable food. My thinking is, like, how are you going to prepare the food if you don't have clean water? They go hand in hand. You got to get both. What do you think, Jacob?
I mean, you look at every post-apocalyptic movie in the library, the most powerful person has water. I'm a welder. So we have actually pretty sound filtration system, but sure. I recommend to people that can't have the complex system like I have to get the Alexa Pure.
Thank you so much for your call. Super important call, Jacob. I appreciate it. I encourage everyone listening now to go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get the Life Select storable food. Get the Alexa Pure water filter as well, because you want to make sure that you have the ability to prepare that food with clean, pure water. Go to InfoWarsStore.com. Be the reason that we're still on the air.
Nitric Boost, Turmeric 95, high quality CBD gummies. It's all available at InfoWarsStore.com via the InfoWars MD line. Now, this is a private label of one of the top supplement makers in the country of high-end quality at reasonable prices. They let us private label their products. That's why you've already heard of Body's Ultra Turmeric Formula. Well, we got the 95% curcuminoid from them. This is just their brand of that. And so it is available under Turmeric 95. That's the name. So we're sold out of Body's, but we have Turmeric 95 that is, again, the same concentrated turmeric. Same thing with Nitric Boost. Nitric Boost came from this company. They even let us use their name. It's now our best seller. We sold out of our version. Their version has a white bottle. It's the exact same thing. You get it at InfoWarsStore.com. So check out InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com.
I would rather be oppressed by the Nazis.
Thank you. Hi, everybody.
I would rather just have some Soviet commissar with his boot on my neck and just saying, do what I say or die. And it's just like, ooh, okay, I get this. This is straightforward. Yes, sir. Please don't kill me. I prefer that over whatever this is.
Push for systemic change.
I would choose straightforward, manly oppression over this preschool baby talk.
As white people, we have a lot to learn and unlearn.
Just say you'll kill me. Just do it. Whatever this pathetic vocal fry cat lady librarian bullcrap is, I don't like it.
It's for the greater good.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
All right, popular talk show host, investigative journalist Jackson Hinkle is our guest. You can follow him on X at Jackson Hinkle. All right, we got a bunch of topics. We already covered some, but I want to go deeper on Venezuela. How long were you there? All these amazing videos I saw posted to your X. What did you witness? What's your real assessment? And then tying that into the world, the economy, these escalating wars, where do you see the planet going?
Well, I was in Venezuela for about 2 weeks, and what I saw was something that even I didn't expect as someone who questions a lot of the establishment propaganda news like you. I saw clean streets. I saw nice new buildings. I saw happy people. Venezuela has the fastest growing economy in all of South America and very safe cities. I lived in L.A. for 2.5 years in Los Angeles, and Venezuela's major city, Caracas, was much, much, much nicer, safer and cleaner than that, which I guess isn't that much of a high bar if we're comparing it to L.A. But Alex, the one thing I saw that really blew my mind were the elections and how the elections operated. I was there as an election observer. Of course, I got to speak with President Maduro as well. But in Venezuela, I'll tell you, they don't use Wi-Fi for their election machines, so they can't be hacked. They have a paper ballot system, which means that in addition to having electronic votes, they also have paper votes that are all counted. They have ID verification in a socialist country, so I guess that's not as racist as Kamala Harris is trying to tell us it is. They have thumbprint verification, and 54% of all of the polling stations get triple audited by all of the political parties in Venezuela. So they're doing a lot of stuff right there, and I think we have a lot to learn.
Keep elaborating on what you saw.
Well, I did see also, I'm not going to sugarcoat things. I did see there were some protests the day after the election. They weren't as big as they were making them out to be on social media. I saw individuals like Elon Musk, who I appreciate a lot of what he's done. He was sharing videos from 2017 protests when the protests were much bigger, claiming that these protests were taking place over the past week in Venezuela. And what I also think people need to understand is, you know, the first day I got there, there was a bomb placed in my hotel by Venezuelan opposition. Turns out they paid the guy $300 to put the bomb there. But when I thought about it, I was like, if they can pay someone $300 to put a bomb in a hotel, imagine how easy it would be for them to pay all of the people of Venezuela to go out to these protests and to go and vote a particular way in the elections. I mean, it's just egregious election interference by the U.S. State Department and the CIA in Colombia. And they've been doing this for years. The question is, why are they so concerned with Venezuela right now? As I mentioned, they have the most oil, they have the most gold, they have the most gas. And right now is a make or break moment for the United States imperialist actors in Venezuela, because Venezuela is about to join BRICS. And if the U.S. doesn't gain control of Venezuela right now, they might not ever be able to in the future.
I even saw Senator Murray admit this a few days ago, that the West didn't just try a coup under Trump. They tried one 3 years ago under Biden, and it's failed. So that's really the big issue here is what do you think is going to happen in Venezuela?
Well, I think Venezuela is going to go down the path of further sovereignty. Already they have very close relations with Turkey, with Iran, with Russia. And when the U.S. placed 930-plus sanctions on Venezuela, their economy, which was growing very fast, they had the highest salaries in South America. The economy was absolutely upended. All of the resources, infrastructure, and supply lines were upended. They didn't know what they were going to do. And for several years, their economy was decimated. But through forming these new relations and partnerships, they were able to make it back. In fact, oil production in Venezuela went down to absolute zero after these sanctions were implemented, because though Venezuela has a lot of oil, it's all heavy crude. So they need additives and light crude and different chemicals to actually refine the oil. When they started to partner with Russia, China, Iran, and Turkey, not only did they bring oil production back, but they doubled it. So when people say, oh, Venezuela's communist, it's not communist in the way that we think of in the United States, the George Soros communism. No, this is real communism. These guys aren't afraid to actually tap into the resources of the country and allow the people to benefit from the soil that's beneath their own feet. And I think that's what we need here. I'm curious, Alex, I know you don't have a fawning report for Nicolas Maduro. What is it about him that you don't like?
Well, look, I don't like the globalists, and I know they're trying to take over Venezuela. I mean, I think there are attacks on free speech there. And just in general, you know, I don't like communism of any flavor. I don't like state planning, centralization. I get we already have BlackRock as our state planner here. Mm-hmm. So I hate that system. It's kind of like I'm a big critic of Israel, but I also don't support importing giant Islamic populations into the West who openly believe in their religion. They have a right to conquer us. So to me, it's paradoxical.
Yeah, I think when you look at Venezuela, of course, it's planned to a certain extent. It's not planned by BlackRock, as you mentioned, or the IMF. They reject the IMF. And they have a lot of private business there. The main thought process in the planning of Venezuela's economy, from what I've gathered, is that the resources of the country should actually benefit the people. So Chevron and BP and Shell Oil aren't allowed to come in and rape the country of all its resources. The Bank of England isn't allowed to steal all the gold. And this is a stark contrast to what we're seeing in Argentina with Javier Milei, who's a globalist puppet. He got elected. He went to go meet with Bill Clinton. Now he's shipping gold, the country's gold bar reserve, over to the Bank of England on British Airways jets. You know, I actually really appreciate what Venezuela is doing, and I think that they're doing a very good job with their economy.
What do you think of Bukele?
I think Bukele is, I think he's a Caesarian type figure. I think he's a brilliant strategist. And look, I was so happy when I saw him go after those criminal cartel gangs, the satanic gangs. And the way that he did it really spoke a lot of volume. Tucker Carlson asked him, how did you come up with this plan to go after all these people that were murdering the entire country? And he said, Tucker, I got with my associates, I got with my administration, we sat in the office together, and we prayed to God for an answer. And that answer was given to them, and they fixed the problem. Now, El Salvador is safer than any U.S. major city. It's the safest country in the entire continent. And not only that, but we're beginning to see a new phase of Bukele after he got his country's safety and security under control. What is he doing now? He's going after big agriculture, and he's trying to uplift the working farmers all across El Salvador. So now he's not only taking on the cartels, which are linked to big business and major transnational corporations, he's also going after big agriculture. And I would not be surprised if he will take on other big financial institutions in the future.
Well, there's no doubt that Bill Clinton was involved with the CIA creating MS-13, sending him from the U.S. prisons in there. And he attacked Soros. So you see Bukele as different from the other guy.
Bukele different from, I see him as different from just about every single leader in South America. I don't know if I can say I 100% agree with him on everything. You know, he's a Palestinian guy.
I mean, those two different brands of quote freedom.
Maduro in him?
No. I'm not the guy you were talking about earlier, Milei.
Oh, Milei. Yes. Milei is completely captured by all the capitalist interests. I mean, you had libertarians celebrating the election victory of Milei, but this guy, before he even got elected, was praising the Ukrainian Nazis, saying that we need to support Argentina needs to support Ukraine. He was talking about how much he loved Israel and the genocide they're doing. And you had libertarians praising him. But guess what? Ron Paul was not praising him. Ron Paul was saying this guy's a fraud and no one should believe anything he's saying. He's not a real libertarian and he's going to take the country into chaos and misery. And I think Ron Paul's a very smart guy. I listened to him and I looked deeper into what Milei's doing. And now after he's elected, that's exactly what he's done.
No, I mean, I tend to agree with you. Milei is there with the IMF and World Bank to loot his country. Whereas with El Salvador, Bukele is trying to actually create a sovereign, successful country.
Yes. Bukele is also using cryptocurrencies to back the sovereignty of his country. Because, look, any leader that fights for freedom and sovereignty of their country from the big banks in the West will eventually be targeted with sanctions. I guarantee you Bukele will eventually be targeted with sanctions if he continues down this path. But because he's been able to, provide this background support for the economic sovereignty by way of building up cryptocurrencies and introducing them into the markets, I think the U.S. is going to have a pretty hard time trying to tackle their economic success.
All right. I've asked a lot of questions in the 10 minutes we have left with Jackson Hinkle. Tying it all together, where China's really going, the world economy, the stock market route we just saw, Warren Buffett dumping 55% of his Apple stock. What does that signify to you?
Well, to me, it signifies that the leaders of the West are beginning to understand that the fat lady is singing. China was just offered a big deal by the IMF to help with their housing market issues. The IMF said, we need to come in and help you guys, because the IMF supposedly is helping countries all across the world. No, that's not what's happening. China said, no, we don't want your help. We're going to fix our problems on our own. We can recognize there are problems, but the IMF is not going to be here to help us. China has rejected IMF support for decades and decades now. They will not work with the IMF. And they're building this multipolar world that's going to completely abandon the dollar. The U.S. needs to recognize that we have to be a nation amongst nations rather than a nation that can wield the power of the dollar, which is a fake currency, and wield the power of our economy, which is a fake economy. It's all stock buybacks, dividends, interest, high interest loans, all these sorts of things. We need to recognize that we actually have to start producing again. We have to care about the people of our country again. And we have to recognize that if we want to maintain our somewhat of a position in this new order, that we have to actually respect our neighbors and respect the other powers in this world rather than trying to start World War III against them.
But the globalists don't give up. What do you think they're about to try to stop Trump, to stop Russia? Whether Russia's not perfect, China's not, any of this. But clearly the globalists are the ones on top of Americans. They're the elephant sitting on us. That's who rules us right now. So, the globalist enemies are our friends just by extension, because the globalists see the American people as an enemy. How do you see the globalists striking back, trying to maintain control?
Look, this week is going to be... could be a tipping point for the relative peace that we have on Earth today. I know that sounds crazy to say that we have relative peace today.
No, I agree. I agree. We're in peace compared to what is about to happen if this keeps going.
Yes. I mean, look, like I said in the first segment, I don't think Iran is going to start an all-out war, but they are going to respond to what Israel did, and Israel, at the behest of the United States or on their own accord, might start a war against Iran after this retaliatory attack. It seems to me like the U.S. is very much in support of what Israel is doing. They have no qualms with it. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris might come out and say that they don't like what Israel's doing. But who just sent 4,000 U.S. soldiers to the region, to the Middle East? Who's sending all these big warships to the region?
Aircraft,
it's the United
carriers.
States. Yes. So I think they're fully on board with starting this major regional war. They're fully on board. I mean, they just sent F-16s to Ukraine. They are approving now Ukraine to use U.S. missiles and missile systems to target in deep Russia.
Yeah, hypersonic. And let's elaborate on that. But back to Iran. Multiple U.S. aircraft carriers in the Strait of Hormuz, right when Israel strikes Iran and Iran's about to strike back, they're literally just like the Lusitania to start World War I, or the Gulf of Tonkin, or the USS Maine, or the USS Liberty, trolling the ships back and forth. I'm worried that some faction of the globalists may attack our own ships.
Yes, a false flag is, of course, it's the tried and true method of the globalists to start wars, right? And they have plenty of ammo there to do it. I thank God I'm not one of the U.S. service members on those ships, because they're pawns in a complex game of geopolitical chess for the likes of Bill Gates and Klaus Schwab and those within the deep state of the Biden administration currently. And the other thing we have to recognize, Alex, is that with an incoming Trump administration, Trump's a wild card. We all know that. We know he put very nefarious figures in his administration for the first 3 or so years. Then he got rid of them and put true American patriots in at the end, and they try to fix the problems of the first 3 years. But the West probably understands that Trump will be a wild card again in the next 4 years if he's reelected. So they're trying to cause as much damage and chaos before Trump comes into office as possible, because if they do that, Trump's really not going to know what to do. Because what can you do if World War III has already started and the nuclear bombs are flying?
And I interrupted you when you got into Russia. Could you elaborate on the situation in Ukraine?
Well, the situation in Ukraine is a complete mess for the United States. Russia's having huge successes in Ukraine, and they're moving very quickly. They're forcing the Ukrainian military into massive cauldrons as we speak, and they've been taking more and more territory each and every day. They have liberated over a quarter of the country from these Ukrainian Nazis. And the reason why we don't hear about Ukraine as much in the media today is because it is a very bad situation. You have about 500,000 to 600,000 Ukrainians that have been killed in action, whereas only about 200,000 to 250,000 Russians killed in action. The Ukrainians are running out of men, so they're sending women, they're sending boys, they're sending senior citizens. They're trying to extradite Ukrainians that fled from the country at the start of the war to other countries to come back home so they can send them to the front line so they can go die for BlackRock there. And Alex, I don't know if we spoke since I went to the Donbass, but I actually visited the Donbass, and I was about a mile and a half away from the front line in Zaporozhye, and what I saw just blew my mind. I went to the Zaporozhye nuclear power plant, which is the largest nuclear power plant in all of Europe. They have 6 reactors there, and they have a huge supply of nuclear waste. And I was going around the power plant right next to the front line of the Ukraine war, and there was drone attacks, there was shelling, there was bombs that had been hit all across the power plant. And the thing that startled me the most was I saw a U.S. missile that was lodged halfway in the ground, about 50 to 100 feet away from where they store all of the nuclear waste for the Zaporozhye nuclear power plant, largest power plant in Europe. They are playing with fire, with nuclear radioactive fire, and they seem to not care.
With a new Chernobyl.
Yes.
And yes. I love how they caught him 2 years ago. It came out even in mainstream news that Zelensky attacked the power plant and claimed the Russians had done it.
Yeah. They say Russia bombed their own Nord Stream pipeline. Russia bombed their own beaches in Crimea. Russia bombed their own Zaporozhye nuclear power plant that they control. It's the most insane propaganda I've ever witnessed. And, I also went to towns like Takhmak, which are about 7 miles from the front line. And I saw tons and tons and tons of civilian homes that were bombed, kindergartens that were bombed by Ukraine using U.S. missiles. I spoke to one woman whose husband was bombed in one of these attacks. And Ukraine, this is what everyone needs to understand. They are begging us. Well, they're demanding us that we send more support, more U.S. taxpayer dollars, more bombs to their country. But they're not using those bombs to try and win back their territory because they can't. They're up against a country that's 3-4 times the size of them with one of, if not the strongest militaries on the face of the earth. No, they're using those bombs that we send them to rain terror down on Ukrainian civilians because Ukraine is very mad at them for choosing to stay in the now newly liberated territories of the Russian Federation in the Donbass.
You know, that's all true, and it's just, and we know that their military is totally collapsed. The Ukrainians don't want this, but it just continues. And then now the EU says it's going to be a 20-year war, but I don't see Ukraine being able to sustain this much longer.
I don't either. I really don't either. And again, we always have to remind ourselves that what Russia is doing in this special military operation is just that. It is not a full wartime mobilization. If Russia was doing that, A, there would be a lot more people killed, Russians and Ukrainians. But B, this would already be over. I pray to God that whoever comes into the next administration in the U.S. Settles peace with the Russians, because if we continue to escalate more and more war, this is only going to lead to one thing, and that's World War III. It's kind of like with the Trump assassination attempt. If Trump had just moved his head back a fraction of an inch, he would have been killed and there would have been civil war. Same thing that I saw in the Donbass when I went to the front line. If that U.S. missile had been just about 75, 100 feet over in the other direction, it would have hit the nuclear waste and there would have been a massive nuclear explosion and there would have been world war.
Jackson Hinkle, very interesting. Glad you didn't get killed in Ukraine or in Venezuela. Talk to you again soon. People can follow you at Jackson Hinkle right there on X. Thanks for the time.
Thank you so much.
We're going to go to break, come back. We've got Edward Dowd, Roger Stone, Daniel Estulin on world events and so much more next hour. We need your support to stay on air. Here's an important announcement. I want to tell you the story, the history of InfoWars MD, one of our biggest and most important lines of high-quality supplements, because it's a story of political attacks and not giving up, and it's an amazing product line that funds our operation. Going back about 3 years ago, during all the deplatforming of InfoWars, not just off the internet, not just with banking, some of the big supplement manufacturers that we were using, some of the best in the country, had been bought up during the pandemic, during the shutdown, and then they would notify us. We had five companies making product for us. Three of them notified us that we're no longer going to work with you because you're Alex Jones and you're InfoWars. So we made a lot of phone calls, reached out to our contacts. We found one of the biggest supplement makers in the country. I'm not going to say their names. They get harassed, but they're big listeners. And they said, listen, you know, we were supplying a lot of the raw materials to several of your manufacturers that are no longer doing business with you. And we would love to put out a private label where we just put your label on our product. And then when people order from you, it drop ships out of our warehouses. And so we added a bunch of their products to our lineup. And I didn't ever really promote them a lot because we were, you know, selling our products and a lot of the products that we developed. But so many of these products that they had put out, again, were the exact same thing that we were putting out. In fact, in some cases, like in the case of Nitric Boost, it's the exact same formula that we private labeled from them before we're even doing InfoWars MD with them. So case in point right now, our version of Nitric Boost, it's so good for your heart and body and cardiovascular system, cleans out your blood. Dr. Minkovich has talked about being one of the best formulas out there. Our version of it sold out about 3 weeks ago. Well, their version is just a white bottle from their warehouse, and it's the exact same pill, the exact same people, does the exact same thing, and it's the exact same price. So that's what InfoWars MD is. Take Turmeric 95. Turmeric 95 is called that because it's the strongest curcuminoid concentrate, 95% that they can make. And it turns out that's the company years ago, and I wanted to put out the strongest turmeric available that was actually producing it. So, Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula, sold out at InfoWarsStore.com, but not their Turmeric 95, which is the same 95% curcuminoid and the same ingredients that boost it. So that's why InfoWars MD is such an amazing line. And because of the bankruptcy attempts to shut us down and the bad CRO we had here before who would not reorder product, we would not have any new product to sell to stay on air if we hadn't set this up with InfoWars MD. Now, they've got... All right, folks, that's the report on InfoWars MD at InfoWarsStore.com. Tell you support the show, plus a great product. Stay with us.
So they always tell you it's the most important election of your lifetime, but of course, this one actually is. That's demonstrable. And it's also, because it is so important, being censored at every level by the tech companies. So we were thinking about this a couple of months ago, and we thought, why not get on the road live in front of actual people, live audiences, coast to coast, a nationwide tour where we can't be censored? That'd be good. It would also be fun. So we're doing it. We're going to be on stage with some of our friends, some of the most fascinating people we know, the most recognizable people we know, responding to what is happening in America this September in real time. It'll be just like the podcast, but it's going to be live. So we're excited to announce our friend Larry Elder is coming to join us in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Our friend John Rich will be there with us in Sunrise, Florida. We're adding more stops. We just added another stadium show in Reading, Pennsylvania. We'll be joined on stage by Alex Jones. They tell you what Alex Jones is like. Have you seen him in person? You should. Make up your own mind. It's going to be fun as hell and interesting and intense, and we hope you will join us. Go to TuckerCarlson.com right now to get your tickets. See you there.
Facts lie to you about what's happening now. InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. InfoWars.com/show.
We interrupt this program to bring you a special report.
America has been captured. We have an occupied government. Any loyal American who does not want to be a complete slave of a biomedical extermination operation needs to get informed quick, get right with God, and then start telling everybody you know about it and not complying with the system. The system is here to destroy us. Complying with it will get you killed. Period.
We told you what was going to happen, and it did. Now we're telling you what's coming. At Real Alex Jones on X.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.